I would return to the what's known as the Lord's Prayer, and one petition in particular this evening in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11, as we are instructed to pray in this way, encapsulated in this one sentence, this petition, this request: give us this day our daily bread. So far in this prayer, we have been reminded, and we need to attune our minds and our hearts to this, that it is in our interests, this is to be our request, to put God first, that He should be first. He comes first in the expression of prayer, in prayer as a whole at least, even if at times we may have isolated, you might call them dart or arrow prayers, as some have called them, in time of need, maybe one particular request that you make. But for prayer as a whole, and our thinking in prayer, our attitude to prayer, our use of prayer, that God comes first. We saw how it is in heaven, that His will is done in heaven, praying that it should be so also on earth. But at the same time, we are to remember, while it is so in heaven, and that is what we are to seek in our own lives, we're also reminded that we are under direction to address God as our Father. A reminder of the fatherly care of God towards His people, those who are His children, through faith in His eternal Son, Jesus, that we are brought to share in the privileges of being children of God through receiving, believing in the Lord Jesus. And that is an equally important part that is to run through all our prayers. Prayer is to ask in its simplest form. And so it's appropriate that we are to come to our Father to ask, the Father who does provide. And it's so that it's on this basis that, among other things, but first for ourselves more particularly, is this petition: give us today our daily bread. You have perhaps done it yourself, you have perhaps heard others do it, for various reasons, to make comparisons between the churches in the so-called West and in the developing world, the Church of the South, as it's sometimes called, in places like Latin America and Africa. We look at these in comparison, we see the great numerical growth in such parts of the church and the decline in the West, as we call it. We see that in some parts believers suffer more for their faith than we seem to. But there are also differences such as in Africa, where life seems to be more of a struggle than it is for us, and therefore many believers do seem to be more conscious of their need on a daily basis, as we put it. They know that they need to cry out. There is a lack in their lives, and they cry out to God. That's the direction of their thought and their mind and their heart in that need. But I find it interesting that these are very often also the places, the parts of the church, where you might detect a stronger sense of the reality of spiritual things. It can be negative, it can be a dark spiritual reality, but at times there seems to be more sense of the glory of God and the spiritual realities in that regard. it's within this that I would turn our minds and our thoughts to this petition, give us this day our daily bread. It's with that kind of background, given that we are in the West, that I would ask a question. I would ask a question, when did you last pray precisely this kind of prayer? When you sit down to a meal, you very likely, I trust, offer thanks. But when did you last pray this prayer, give us today our daily bread, a request? And then I would ask the question, this is the question I would follow through this evening, is why would you not pray this prayer, give us this day our daily bread? And I mean that by in terms of praying it with a clear and a very strong sense of its meaning and its significance. But it's not just the form of the prayer, but digging deep into its significance, its implications. I would endeavor to do this by looking at what I suggest are three main areas of application in the three parts of the sentence. There is the request, give us today our daily bread. There are three parts. Give us today. God, give us our daily bread. And I would highlight, first of all, God's interest in us, that we're asking Him to give these things to us. Then it's our gifts to share. It is in the plural, as is the address, our Father. So it is, give us our daily bread. And then thirdly, God's perfect supply. It's our bread, the thing that we need, and it's daily sufficient for our daily need. So it's the giving that we ask for, it's the plurality of this request, and it's the precise thing that we're asking for that I would highlight this evening. And first of all then, God's interest in us. Give us bread, we are told to ask for, by God Himself. He is saying, this is what you should be asking me for. Why would you not pray this prayer? I suggest you would not pray this prayer for several reasons regarding God's interest in you. You will not pray this prayer if you think that God limits His interest in you. You may think that He is only interested in big things. For example, there are many who have thought over the years, in the last couple of hundred years, that God made the world a long time ago and He left it to run itself, more or less, but He made it in such a way that it will keep going, which includes the seasons and the passing and the harvest and so on, the provision of food, or He makes it with the so-called natural laws that manufacture is possible and we can get what we need, etc. But didn't Moses tell the people of Israel, God gave you the strength that you could get that wealth that you thought you brought by your own strength? Let's not forget, and I mean that not just in our minds, in our knowledge, but in every practical way. The Bible tells us, it's further down in that same chapter, Matthew chapter 6, verse 32, we learn that your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And just prior to that, He was telling how He provides for them just as well as He provides for the birds of the air or the lilies of the field. God is at work, readily providing, constantly providing food, the things you need, even food and clothing. God is not just interested in the big things. He doesn't just make the world as a big thing and then leave it to work itself. He's involved. He's part of us. But if you're not careful, you may end up going through life thinking. You would say, no, I don't think like that. But don't you? How do you take a hold of this and say, God cares about my food today and tomorrow for tomorrow? Or you might not pray this prayer with depth and meaning if you think that God is only interested in so-called spiritual things. You may know that this is the prayer. You may know that God knows your needs and will provide. But you may also, by your way of life, you may also be revealing that you are disconnecting what you know from what you do, what you are, from your day-to-day life. And that is the deeper thinking. That is the thinking that frames your life. What is it in fact? Not just what you know intellectually as you read and you can answer the questions. It's what you actually do that reflects your mind set, your perspective. And it's what you do that can reflect that you think that God is not interested in the things of our bodies, material things, physical things. God says he is, and it's so desperately important that we take him at face value. Take him seriously. He says it, he means it. What he says he will do. He says he will make sure that you have what you need if you trust in him. Let's trust in him. Trust in his word. There's a phrase, and it's one that's quite easy to get confused, an expression in the Bible that speaks about good measure pressed down and running over. Let's do that with God's word and his promises and his promise that he will take care of you. Get it into your life and press it down. Work at pressing it down. Make it and fill it. Fill your life with that knowledge that you do live by it. Or else you will not be praying this prayer. We see just how interested God is in the basic needs of man by the way he provides for people even when they don't trust in him. We are his creation, body, soul, and spirit, and he is interested in everything about us. Let's be very careful we don't fall into the trap of thinking that spiritual and earthly things are disconnected from each other. Yes, God is spirit, but he is our maker in a physical world. Maybe just look at it the other way round. When you do receive, give yourself to thanksgiving. That's surely the right response. And isn't that a state of worship, a spiritual action? It does belong. It has a spiritual significance. They're not even separate things. They have a bearing on each other. God is interested. We are praying to God to give us something so basic as our food. But I also want to emphasize that this is speaking of our gifts to share. We're praying that God will give. It is a gift, but it is something to be shared. There are these other aspects that you may be forgetting, which will mean that you will not be praying this prayer. You may be forgetting that everything you have is because of the grace of God in Christ. It's because of Christ that we may and we must pray to our Father in heaven. Our Father, our daily bread, in the same way. You will not pray this prayer if you forget that you have no claim on God for anything. You will not pray this prayer if you forget that you have no claim on God for bread, as much as for salvation. No man has a right to bread. Bread is only given to man because God sent his Son, Christ Jesus, and he always intended to. If God had not chosen to send a Savior, we would all be in our sin and under his wrath and destruction. Think back to the days of Noah, for example. But in the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, the goodness of God leads men to repentance. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Christ makes all the difference. We would not be here if it were not for God sending his Son. Destruction would be the only way. But if that is so, as a rule, for all, so much more then for those who believe, for all who can call God Father through union with Christ. We should have confession in mind as we pray. Even this prayer, it does have a spiritual connection. Praying that we may receive bread. Praying through Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We will not be praying this way if we lose sight of our absolute need to be joined with Christ, to have a hearing before God, even praying for our daily bread. But what does this have to do with our gifts to share? It's because we share them with Christ, because of Christ. That's where we need to begin. We share through the grace of the supply, of Christ's supply to us in every need. But if we share through those blessings, let's not be forgetful either of the needs of others. We'll not pray in this way if I'm more interested in my bread or my millions. For a start, it can only ever be mine, insofar as God has put these blessings into my stewardship. But that's not the way we're taught to pray. We're taught to pray together, that these things are to be shared. We share in the fellowship of Christ's people. We saw it perhaps a few months ago, looking at Philippians in chapter 2. Sharing that fellowship, we should be seeking everyone's interests, as well as God's, as well as our own. These are pronouns, possessive pronouns, there's the us and the our in this prayer. They're very important. Let's not miss them. Put nouns in place. Lord, give to everyone in your church the daily bread that everyone in your church needs. Or indeed, give to men today the daily bread that men need. We should have an interest in our neighbor, not just those who are within the family of God, all who are in need. Who is excluded from that? And those who are not yet in the church may yet well be one day. Our Father can only be said by the believer, truly. I wouldn't soften that truth for a moment. But let us bear in our hearts those who may yet be his children and share the prayer for their sake as well. My third emphasis this evening is on God's perfect supply. give us this day our daily bread. However often you might pronounce this line, you are not praying with an earnest heart if you fail to acknowledge the perfection of God's grace towards you. And that has two parts, I think. One is a recognition of your need of grace, grace which is free. There's nothing that's possible to give in return except thanks. You need grace. You need His free gift. Give us, simply give us today our daily bread. But also with it is the wisdom and the perfection of God's will. It's a wonderfully simple, it's almost a blunt prayer. Give us. Father, give us. It can't be anything else. We cannot make any deals. We cannot bring any offers. We cannot pay the necessary price. Just ask. Just ask. Having said that, although the Lord is very much interested in our temporal needs, physical needs, there is some difference in our prayer for the spiritual and for the temporal things. The spiritual needs that we pray for example, what followed, forgive us our debts, deliver us from the evil one. These are absolute. These are must-have. Without them, we're gone. This is eternal life, and it's accompaniments that we're looking at. But for temporal things, they must be asked for, yes, asked bluntly, plainly, simply, but they must be asked for recognizing that they are conditional. We ask with the proviso that we are trusting in the wisdom of God's answers. I remember reading a story of a nature collector as a boy, and he was on Corfu. You may know the fellow as I tell the story, but he was a boy on Corfu, and he was able to run wild almost, and he gathered all kinds of specimens. And one day he was given a couple of baby hedgehogs, and he read the books, and he knew how to feed them. But he was taken away for just a day, I think it was, and he asked his sister, who was very very emotional about these baby hedgehogs. They were very cute. And so she was delighted to have to look after them. And when he came home, he was horrified to see that these baby hedgehogs were virtual balloons, and they couldn't touch the ground with their feet. They had swollen up so much. And he threw a tantrum, and then he asked his sister what happened. And she said, well, they just seemed to want to drink and drink and drink. They just wanted more. Doesn't that speak of us if we're looking at our own judgment, our own wisdom, about what is our daily need? That's the nature of man. He's always wanting more and never satisfied. But the Lord is perfect. Today, our daily bread, what I need for today, Lord, give me that. Conditional, that proviso that we're trusting, knowing, sure, that He will provide as far as He sees these things good for us. And that has a spiritual bearing too. And it continues free. It's His grace towards us. He knows, He plans, He works. I took this as my text back in October as something of a harvest thanksgiving text. And amongst other things, I traced out some examples. And if you look at the fine things that you had on the table today, dwell on them, think about them. Think about the time and the processes that were involved to get them there. Even your own hands working to produce them. We are in a very interesting situation in the UK just at the moment, or perhaps it's dying its own death, but before you were born, God knew that you would need fuel for your tank for the essential journey today. And he planted down those fossil fuels and all that happened in the world since they were first set in place. He knew. He always has known. And he still knows your need. But you will not pray this prayer if you're not willing to put your trust in God for this. You'll not pray this prayer if you fail to see the ways that he does provide for your needs, food, clothing, shelter. And Paul says, let's learn to be content with these. And he provides for you many extras on top of all that. And he does it to work for your spiritual benefit by calling you to pray this prayer. To recognize that what you have is his gift, perfect for you. And that benefit comes by how you respond to his kindnesses. What is on your heart when you are blessed? What was on Israel's heart when they were blessed with those fields that just seemed to spring up new crops every year, that gave such richness to the wool on their sheep's backs? What was in Israel's heart when they built those beautiful houses and cities? What was on David's heart when he had a glorious palace and he said, I've got this, and God's house, God doesn't have a house? What was on the hearts of Zerubbabel and those with him as they returned to Jerusalem? And after 18 years, they had the foundation of the temple and nothing else. And Haggai called them to consider their ways as they put paneling inside their houses. And there was no house for God and his ark. How do you respond to God's kindnesses? What happens when he blesses you? God has blessed us as a family in amazing ways this past week. I want to tell you that. And it's only this past week I'm telling you about, and there's so much more. How will you deal with prosperity? How will you deal with hardship? Will you allow yourself to begin thinking as the world does? In prosperity, will you begin to pray that your more than enough comes under his further blessing? In Psalm 132, I will abundantly bless her provision. The provision is a blessing, but I will abundantly bless the provision. Let it be a blessing to you and to others through you. And that suggests yet another reason why you might not pray this prayer, from a lack of thankfulness for what you have received. That's as good as saying that what you have in your hands did not come from him. But let thankfulness be there as the offering of our lips. Let thankfulness be there as the giving of our lives. He has given us richly all things to enjoy, Paul said to Timothy. 1 Timothy 6:17. But he said before that, it's not for their sake, for the things to enjoy, but to encourage our trust in him, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Friends, time has gone this evening. I ask the question, why would you not pray this prayer? You wouldn't pray it if your thinking is astray in any of these ways. You may say such words, but only if your heart is awake to the truths in these words. Only if you are thinking truly through the core of your being will it be an effective prayer. God may still be rich in his blessings and his goodness towards you. But there are even greater benefits in recognizing that he is your provider. Even in this you live to your chief purpose. You turn the glory to him. This is also a prayer from the heart, renewing your trust, your dependence on him to his glory. How am I going to put bread on the table tomorrow? I'm going to ask God for it first. It's so very inconsistent to pray in one breath, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm on earth. And then to presume on your daily needs, either to receive them, that you presume that you'll receive them, or to imply that you gain them purely by your own strength and ingenuity. Perhaps when we look at this prayer, these are just a few words. I spoke earlier of how we sometimes perhaps are in danger of thinking that God is interested only in spiritual issues. These are just 8 words in Greek out of 57 in the whole prayer. But they are all of 8 words. They're not missing. They are there. They are important. They're important to God. He is the one who teaches us to pray this. He is the one who says, therefore, I will hear this prayer if you pray it. With the understanding, with the heart, with earnestness, and thinking in the right way about all that is involved in the Lord's providing for our needs. Providing perfectly. Let's take good hold of these 8 words and put the value on them that he does. And may he bless his word to each of us this evening and to his kingdom. Let us now pray together.